Family. Are they those who you share DNA with, or those you know? The found family, the forever family, the family. What lengths would you go to protect them?
Welcome to the Black Bibliophile. This is a podcast where I, Osof, review books and the stories behind them. From the hidden meanings to the secret treasures and everything in between. To quote Cicero, a room without a book is like the body without a soul. And with that, let us jump right into this week's episode of The Black Bibliophile.
Usually, I'll pick a quote or two that I believe really spoke the message of the book. However, I couldn't pick just one. Not this time. The afterthought screamed to me the message of Wings of Ebony. It is powerful, thought-provoking, and something I believe a lot of people of colour will resonate and relate with. It is us. If our unique experiences could be generalised and still remain individual, if our unique experiences could be put into words and written down so one may read, understand and think, this would be our written memoir. This would be us. So for this moment, for this segment, I shall read what I believe is us. Afterthoughts. People see my life. The eroded buildings and cracked sidewalks. To them, I am the building, my life the concrete. I am not broken. Do not pity me. They see the drugs, but not the dreams, the pain, but not the joy. The headlines paint a picture incomplete. Their eyes are half open, so much do they miss. Bonds forged beyond our blood through struggle is the core of our richness. See me as I am, not as you have me to be. My hood is my home, not my prison. The springboard to my future. You see poverty, I see promise. My story makes me strong, resilient, unshakable. I am a force to be reckoned with, a mountain that won't be moved. For I am the blood of the old gods, a Gazonian queen. I wear riches on my shoulders, money can't esteem. My skin is the color of earth and greatness pulses through my veins. And yes, I come from poverty, but no, I am not ashamed. I am not who you say I am or who you say I will be. My wounds are outshined by the radiance of my true identity. One as bright or brighter than yours, not high or mighty, you say, I say. Watch, and you'll see.
Hey, Biblios. Welcome back, returning listeners. Welcome to new listeners. Welcome to the family. Welcomes all around. And welcome to the first episode of 2022. Wow. Guys, we did it. We have crossed over to a new year, new blessings, new opportunities. Everything's new. So with that, let us jump into the first segment of the show, our Q&A responses. Last year, I asked you guys, what's the scariest thing that's ever happened to you? And your responses were something else. But I'm here for it. I love it. Because some of you were giving me very much think deep and actually scare me. But some of you were giving me very much, let's laugh about it now. It's not that scary no more. And I'm here for it. Louise said, walking in her house when house was in the process of being burgled. I wonder how that went. Did you just see the guy or girl, but not sexist over here, walk into your house and you're just like, and then you turn on the light and you look at them, they look at you. That would be funny now. Probably be scary at the moment. Fortune said, when I thought I was lost at the mall. I feel like everybody has had that moment where they thought they were lost, especially if you're with a mom
and you're really young, aunt, uncle, some form of adults, and you get lost and you can't find them. It's so scary. Like, how are you going to leave me like that? I may have wanted to go and look for something, but why would you leave me? Why would you take your eyes off me and let me get lost? It is clearly your fault. Manny said, overthinking while being alone. And it's really scary because sometimes when you're alone and you're overthinking, your thoughts can just spiral and then you can work yourself up. So most definitely, that is definitely very, very scary because of the drastic effects it can have. So Manny, thank you for bringing that up. Another person said living, most definitely. This living thing, adulting, life thing, most ghetto thing I've ever experienced in my life is ghetto and very scary. Tanisha said, well, Tanisha didn't just say one. Tanisha gave us a list. I don't know. Being chased in Walton Stowe. Ooh, I can't, I don't know where that is. Damn. And almost breaking my leg. I watched a guy almost die on the 23rd of November. Sleep paralysis? Yeah. Miss Mayhem, I said scary years, not a range of scary things. Like, all of these look, sound scary, but girl, what's happening? Were you just attracting scary moments? Because, Miss Mayhem, it's not supposed to be like this. Life is supposed to, actually, no, life isn't supposed to be doing nothing. Life is not life right now. But still, you ain't supposed to be this scared. This week, we'll be reviewing Wings of Ebony by JL. Let's jump into the review. Just wow. Wow. This was wow. Everything. So absolutely fantastic. I can't emphasize how good this book was. It was a lush fantasy that was brilliantly written with so many parallels to our own world, the state it's in. My gosh, this book was needed. It was so moving, and I love the bonus of semi-portal writing, parallel worlds. We didn't ask for it, we didn't deserve it, but we loved every moment of it. And yet, Wings of Ebony is so much more than that. It's affected me truly in so many ways. The sense of humor throughout the novel, incredibly, makes the book all that more memorable, and it adds another layer. It's like I'm really reading a book. You're not just reading this book, you're experiencing this book. I'm utterly blown away. JL has written a masterpiece that will impact any and everyone who reads it. I was not ready, y'all. This book hits way too hard. Rue has had it hard. To say that would be an understatement. I'm still reeling in from her mother's death and being whisked away to a foreign land against her will by her father. Rue has escaped back to her old stomping grounds in search of her little sister Tasha. In Gazone, she is an outsider among grey-skinned beings who are nothing like her community back home. East Road gets a bad rep, but she loves her neighbourhood and will do anything to protect it. Lately, it's like a war zone with people dying left, right and centre. And when a dangerous gang targets her sis, she knows what she needs to do. Now, are you going to tell me that Rue doesn't have it hard? But yet she overcomes every single one of these. Now, don't tell me you don't feel like a bad bitch. Now, tell me you don't know a bad girl when you see one. A girl boss. Girl who's all about it. That's Rue. The writing is so easy to read. JL creates an interesting world without an overly complicated magic system. And Rue's strength doesn't lie in her magical abilities, but her determination to fight for her neighbours. She doesn't try to change herself to fight in Gazone. Rue uses AAV, and the words she uses aren't always explained. Now, I really want to emphasise on how important this is, because reading a fantasy book where the characters are speaking AAV is going to be pivotal for a lot of youth readers. Rue is proud of her hood, and she shows the world there's more to it than the violent stereotypes. She lives by the mantra of making a way. This book gives commentary on appropriation, colonization, and systemic racism without being overly heavy-handed. It's a book that focuses greatly on social commentary through the framework of a fantasy story. JL just doesn't miss. She doesn't disappoint. The novel revolves around Rue, who has been forced into this world of magic zone with her biological father after her mother dies. It's clear from the beginning that Rue not only struggles with the loss of her mother, but also the loss of a relationship with her sister that she has to leave behind. While in Gizone, Rue learns that teens in her hometown are being forced into lives of crime and violence. This parallels some evils and darknesses that also exist in Gizone. What is most interesting about this book is that it's a little less fantasy than I think most people are anticipating. Most of it does take place in the real world, but it also has a magic system world that is accessible to readers. This is probably doesn't work a lot for many traditional fantasy readers. However, JL exceeded in creating a fantasy book that not only had representation in terms of the way her characters look, but this will be the first time that a lot of readers truly see and feel and experience themselves in fantasy books where the writer forgot about appealing to the white gaze. When I told y'all JL did her thing, y'all thought I was playing. In terms of character development, I really enjoyed Rue as a character. I loved her. The love and bond that she has for her sister made my heart melt. She was literally willing to break every single rule that was set for by Gizone to protect her sister and keep her safe. It's constantly reminded me of the appreciation, adoration, and respect that black women have for one another. It does take a while to connect and fully connect with Rue as a character. But I believe that this is because of the way in which the story is written. There are a lot of flashbacks that give context to Rue's present-day behavior, but it does stifle the character growth in some ways. Nevertheless, she is a determined character with a great love and enormous passion for her community. This book is fast-paced. It's quick and easy to read, but it's also a book that has shocking moments with lots of plot twists and turns. These specific elements allow JL to seamlessly weave in social commentary that were very specific to the black community. Nothing in this book should be taken for granted, and if any scenes or moments in this book felt very familiar, I am convinced that it was JL's attempt to do so. Wings of Ebony is definitely a strong debut, and I cannot wait to see what JL does with its sequel, Ashes of Gold. I am so excited. JL has written a book that gives us a brave, no-nonsense black girl, blessed with more magic than she knows, and a mind that doesn't stop until everything makes sense. She doesn't mince her words. She says what's on her mind. You can pardon her French or not, and ask the hard questions until she's satisfied with the answers. YA has not seen a Brie, a Rue, or let me just wait until the next book until you find out the other characters in a long time. And Rue is what we need in YA. We need more Rues, more Bries, more Briesses. We need them. Brie gives Katniss Everdeen vibes. Mostly because we're not used to reading young female protagonists who are self-sure, brave, pragmatic, and tough. Even though hella girls are this way in real life, we don't see it in books. Brie is scared, but never a damsel in distress. She's ready to save her own self and everybody else, but a guy can help her if she wants. Now, you cannot tell me that you're not obsessed. I'm obsessed with Brie right now. Obsession. The obsession? The obsessiveness? Ah! I'm obsessed. The world building in Houston and in the magical land of Gizone is literally a perfect balance of contemporary and Afrofuturism. The language and the spells got me hyped. At the heart, the core of Wings of Ebony is the story of a complicated, heart-rending relationship between a girl and her absent father, and the unavoidable ways in which a father-daughter relationship shapes a girl's idea of who she is and what she is capable of. Wings of Ebony holds a mirror up to racism and colonization in a way that shows. Wings of Ebony holds a mirror up to racism and colonization in a way that slowly brings the message into focus. It's not harsh, but it hits real and true and cannot be missed. It also holds a mirror up to the non-racist allies who might not realize how much they are subconsciously sympathize with systems of oppression that they benefit from and how they often victimize themselves. Wings of Ebony. Oh, I love this book, guys. I honestly love this book. I have so much to say, but I need to wrap it up. I am just so much in love with this book. Obsessed. Hashtag. Wings of Ebony is more magic realism than epic fantasy, with much of the story taking place in Houston. The world building in both Houston and Gizone is impeccable. However, I do believe that there are hints of Gizone that will further be explored in the sequel, Ashes of Gold. I cannot wait for that book to drop. After an intense reading, I need to know what's next. Because, Miss Mim, run me the sequel. Thank you. This book, great, amazing, impeccable, beautiful. There's not enough words in the English language to describe the brilliance of this book. It tackles important issues, super action-packed. I enjoyed the book in its entirety. I love how fast it was. I do enjoy short stories. However, I enjoy stories that hold substance. Long stories but feel short because the writing is just that good and I'm literally flying by through the pages. Wings of Ebony was that. I agree that there could have been more world building, however, it didn't bother me at all. I can't wait for book two as I feel like we're in more of another ride and I am so ready. I even brought my own seatbelt to lock myself in. I'm ready for this. Rue's mother raised a diamond. JL wrote a diamond. Wings of Ebony is the most precious of gems. All of YA fantasy and every teen who reads Wings of Ebony will be better for it. I'm excited, ecstatic for the sequel. Read Wings of Ebony, please. Thank you. Shout out to JL for writing a book that's unapologetically black and doesn't change dialogue or character development to appease the white gaze or to what the publishing industry deems as appropriate. And finally, shout out to JL for giving us a book that is literally black girl magic. And with that, of course, there was no way I was going to give this book anything lower than a 5. Big purr! Thank you for coming to our first podcast of the year. Our first 5 of the year. If you're still on the fence whether Wings of Ebony by JL is a book you need to read next, ciao. Let's read the first page. Bullets don't have names. But if they did, chances are one would have mine or someone brown skinned like me. Metal slates chill my legs and I shimmy sideways, craning for a better view from the bus stop. Careful to keep the oink stops fused to my wrist covered. Up all night I watch the sun rise, like a traitor to the chill set in my bones. A yawn scratches at my throat, but my lungs refuse to breathe. Any moment Tasha will step out, her tie-dye drawstring knapsack on her back, and her fuzzy purple phone clutched in her fingers. She always oversleeps, but she won't be late. Not today. She, like me, probably couldn't sleep, knowing we had to face today, had to relieve what this day means. 1 year ago today, Mom's died. Shot dead on her stood. No explanation, no investigation, just blood, pain, and lots of tears. So many tears. Since then, it's been Tasha and me, separated, living in different places. But not today. Today, My little sister won't be alone. My eyes sting. I blink the tears away as the bass-filled trunks rattles by, blasting some rapper whose name I can't remember. I'm home. It's good to be back. Even if I can't stay, I sigh, but my shoulders clench instead of sink. Construction crews spill out of work trucks across the street, bringing the block to life. Chiming bells snatch my attention. Kiki's wig shop. They open early as hell today. Two doors down, dudes in glistening chains, hoodies and baggy jeans chop it up, slapping hands and giving one-armed hugs. My niggas, the whole damn block is family. Neighbors are aunties. I got more cousins than makes any sort of mathematical sense. You can't work that shit out logically with a family tree chart. The block is fam, just the way it is, the way it has to be. But even families keep secrets. I tug at my sleeves. I lean back, slipping on my hood, face cloaked in the shadow. I'm not trying to be tripped up with questions about where I've been. Some shit's just too wild to even try to explain. And where I've been this past year, the place I'm now forced to call home, is wild AF. A jumble of voices pulls me around, twisting in my seat. I keep my head down, hoodie up until their footsteps are faint patters. I exhale, my knees still bouncing. 6 a.m. My sis takes the bus to school because it's too far to walk, and everyone at home is off to work well before the street lamps start buzzing. Any moment now, she'll be out the door and find the gift I left on her step, a gift I wish I could hand to her if the risks weren't so great. And you want to tell me you don't want to read that book? Are you normal? Are you normal? Because clearly you're not. If you're not already going to buy the book now, you're not normal. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Black Bibliophile podcast. I am your host, Osa. This week, we discuss Wings of Ebony by JL. This book, beautiful. Next week, we'll be discussing This Poison Heart by Caden Bayron. And y'all, that book, it's got me on grips. It's... that book. I thought Tiffany D. Jackson could hurt my soul, but that book, I'ma need God himself to calm down and heal my heart. I'm in tears, honestly. And I cannot wait for the sequel of Wings of Ebony to drop. Ashes of Gold. I'm excited. If you want to join in on the conversation, leave an email, IGDM, or even a voice message. Links to these various destinations are in the description of this week's episode. There's a question in the description of this week's episode as well that will be on my IG story. This week's question is, if you would have a power, what would yours be? We shall discuss responses in the beginning of next week's episode. And with that, thank you once again for tuning in. I love you guys so much. Have a great rest of your day, a blessed rest of your week, and a glorious weekend. Until next time, God bless and goodbye.